You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
When we think of scientific research, we have in mind certain classic images: laboratories with scientists in white coats, Bunsen burners and beakers, a chalkboard with long equations of calculus, and of course, rats, mice, rabbits, and monkeys. A group of citizen activists at the University of British Columbia are concerned that bad things are happening to these animals. They're called Stop UBC Animal Research. Brian Vincent is a member, and he joins me this morning. Hello, Brian.
Hello, thank you for having me.
What's the rationale for using animals in scientific experimentation?
Well, UBC and other research facilities claim that they need to do research on animals in order to find cures and procedures that will eventually help people. I mean, that's basically the rationale for it. Unfortunately, animal research is a lot more complicated than that, and it's not reduced to a soundbite that it's that simple. Animal research actually can harm human health. It actually can be quite misleading, and of course, there's all sorts of cruelty involved.
Are there alternative research tools for scientists instead of live animals?
Yes, there are. In fact, in a May issue of the Sunday Times, there was an article about the University of Wisconsin in which scientists there had developed a human tissue from stem cells, and those scientists found that it was a far better laboratory than animal models. You may have read recently that an individual was, quote, cured of AIDS. That cure was developed from adult stem cells. Stem cell research especially has a lot of promise, and the University of Wisconsin researchers said that it would replace animal research because it was such a far better laboratory than animal models.
Now, you mentioned just a moment ago that sometimes animal experimentation is harmful to humans. Do you have any examples of that?
Sure. First of all, when you think about animal research, you know, doing an experiment on a mouse or a rat is very misleading because it doesn't necessarily translate to how that might affect a human. For example, cats will die if you give them aspirin. Yet aspirin is a medication that we take on a regular basis. There have been drugs that have been developed that have been quite harmful to people, yet they passed safety tests on animals. For example, Vioxx. Vioxx was an arthritis drug developed that killed more than 100,000 people. It was pulled off the market in 2004. Vioxx was tested on animals, including non-human primates, and was considered safe. Hormone replacement therapy, which has been used for with millions of women, and was tested as safe on animals, has been linked to a rise in ovarian and breast cancer, heart disease, and stroke. So it actually can be quite dangerous because it misleads the public and researchers into thinking that if it passes a safety test for an animal, that it's safe for humans.
Now, the animal experimentation in Canada comes under some oversight. Who are the Canadian Council on Animal Care, the CCAC, and what do they do?
Well, the Canadian Council on Animal Care is a nonprofit body. It's not a government body that oversees animal research throughout the country. And I hesitate to use the word regulate because animal research is not regulated in Canada. And here's why. The Canadian Council on Animal Care is a 22-member organization. Of those 22 members, the vast majority are those interests like pharmaceutical companies, bioengineers, agriculture interests. These are all interests that have, have a vested interest in perpetuating animal research. So the first thing is you basically have the fox guarding the hen house. Secondly, they do oversee animal research and facilities. However, that oversight is hidden from the public. For example, they do assessments of facilities throughout Canada that do research on animals, and those assessments are hidden from the public. They are secret. at every institution, including UBC, the Canadian Council on Animal Care establishes an animal care committee, and those committees do inspections and assess the research activities at a university. Those assessments are hidden from the public. The members of the Animal Care Committee are not known to the public. If there are any reports of noncompliance, let's say UBC did not abide by certain guidelines, that too is hidden from the public. In the United States, there's much more transparency. For example, when there's a federal grant given to an institution from the National Institutes of Health or the U.S. Department of Agriculture, that grant is posted online. Inspection reports are posted online so that if you want to see if a university is in compliance, if they've been cited for violations, that's all online for the public to see. And so watchdog groups in the states are able to monitor institutions very carefully. And in one particular case, an institution found, an watchdog group found that a university had sent cages through a hot water washer and inadvertently left a monkey inside who got scalded alive. That was a report online that the public could review. If those sorts of things are happening at universities in Canada, we have no way of knowing.
Now, I understand that the CCAC allows five categories of animal experimentation. What kinds of activities are actually permitted?
Well, you're correct. There are five categories of invasiveness, and those categories allow for some pretty horrific procedures. For example, under Category E procedures, which are the most invasive, researchers can do highly invasive procedures to an animal. For example, and I'll just read from their website, exposure to drugs or chemicals at levels that may markedly impair physiological systems and which cause death, severe pain, or extreme distress, burn or trauma infliction on unanesthetized animals, a euthanasia method not approved by the CCAC, any procedures, that is, the injection of noxious agents or the induction of severe stress or shock that will result in pain which approaches the pain tolerance threshold and cannot be relieved by pain medication. So that's basically what is allowed under Canadian Council on Animal Care guidelines. You can burn an animal alive. You can traumatize them. You can cause severe pain without giving them any kind of pain relief.
So these kind of actions towards animals, if they were done towards humans, would obviously be considered to be gross torture. I mean, if you can burn an animal alive, then what is the CCAC's actual oversight role? Does it include protecting animals in any way from these aggressive actions?
The short answer is no. And it's not just, I mean, you raise a comparison to animals and humans. Well, animals and animals. If you were to do some of the procedures that UBC is doing to animals, to your neighbors, companion animals, you would be brought up on cruelty to animal charges. But once these animals are behind closed doors of a research institution like UBC, anything goes, unfortunately. And what is shocking to most people, in addition to the brutality of some of these experiments, is that taxpayers are paying for it. You and I are paying for these experiments through our tax dollars. And what UBC claims is that we are not allowed to know what UBC is doing with our money because, one, it's intellectual property of the university, and, two, they claim the public wouldn't understand if the information was released. It could be misinterpreted by the public. Well, there are two problems with that. First of all, it's not the intellectual property of the university. It's the intellectual property of the people. We are paying for it. UBC researchers are essentially our employees. And secondly, it's arrogant to say that if this information was released to the public, we're too dumb to understand it.
Let's look a little more closely at UBC then. I understand that you put forward a Freedom of Information request. What led to that?
We put together we've actually submitted several Freedom of Information Act requests. Well, here's the problem again in Canada compared to the United States. It's very difficult to get real-time information about what UBC or any other institution is doing to animals. In the United States, you can go online at these government databases and you can find out how many animals are being used at each university, what kinds of animals, what the procedures are that are being used on these animals. We have no such system in Canada. The Canadian Council on Animal Care does post the number of animals used in Canada every year, but it's not by institution. It's only listed by region. The reason that's a problem is if you want to know what a university or an institution is doing to animals in your community, you can't find out. So, for example, we don't have specific data about how many animals, species of animals, the kinds of procedures that are being used on these animals, how invasive they are. None of that information is available to us about UBC. So that's a problem because there's not a lot of disclosure in Canada. And it doesn't allow for the public to scrutinize what an institution is doing. And if we can't fully evaluate what UBC is doing to animals, how can we decide whether we support this or not with our tax dollars?
So it's a bit like fighting some sort of phantom because you know that these abuses of animals are going on at UBC, yet at the same time you can't enumerate them or talk about the specific ones in order to have people react to that.
Yeah, I mean, for example, when we first started the campaign in February, the only information we had to go on in terms of UBC was a 2008 article published in a student newspaper, the UBC newspaper on campus, which was a pretty extensive article and pretty shocking in terms of what this reporter had discovered about what was happening at UBC, and then published papers about research at UBC. The reason the published papers are limited in terms of their value is because they are published after an experiment is completed. So when the experiment is completed, there's peer review, and then finally the findings are published. Well, there may be a year or two lag time in there. So it doesn't give an idea of what's happening in real time at UBC, nor does it give a comprehensive picture of what's happening. You might find a paper here and there about cat experiments or experiments on monkeys at UBC, but it doesn't give you the big picture. And then finally, this information is difficult to find. Yes, the published papers can be found online at a database called PubMed, but the public shouldn't have to go through so many hoops and so much effort to track this down. Our organization's an all-volunteer group. We have a research team of 11 people who spent months poring over documents, searching databases, and they can only find published papers. They couldn't find what UBC is actually doing today to animals. And that's what we've had to get, you know, through whistleblowers at UBC, people who have come forward and told us, press reports when media calls UBC, they've gotten a little bit of information. As far as our Freedom of Information Act requests, however, we've submitted our first in June, and we have not gotten one shred of documentation from UBC yet. We have asked for research protocols which describe in more detail what UBC researchers are doing to animals, video and photographic evidence. We've asked for data such as the number of animals they're using, species of animals, where they're getting their animals, where are they getting these monkeys? Are they wild caught, for example? Where are they getting the cats that they use in experiments at UBC? Not one bit of information has been provided to us by UBC, and in fact, UBC has violated the Provincial Freedom of Information Act by missing deadlines in terms of providing that information.
Brian, how can people who are concerned about this issue support your campaign and force some kind of accountability at UBC over the kind of animal research they're doing?
Well, they can go to our website, which is www.stopubcanimalresearch.org, or they can get in touch with us via email, which is stopubcanimalresearch@gmail.com, or call us at 604-551-3324. Our campaign is very, very active. We started out with 32 people in February, and our mailing list today is over 400 people. We have lots of volunteer activities, everything from doing research to helping organize to community outreach to fundraising. And that's one of our big needs, actually, is fundraising, because we are an all-volunteer organization. We have no budget to speak of. Everything that we've done so far has been done with the generosity of our members, you know, paying for copying and paying for the work that we're doing. And, you know, if we want to become a more effective organization, then obviously we need to raise funds. We are fighting not only a large institution that is revered in Vancouver, UBC, but a mindset in Canada. We're fighting decades of this entrenched mindset where researchers feel they can do anything they want to animals and the public's not supposed to question.
Brian, it's been good talking to you this morning. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Brian Vincent. He's a member of Stop UBC Animal Research, and their website is stopubcanimalresearch.org.